live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express, featuring Nate Sauders with the news, Diana Gibson traffic, and many others too numerous to mention. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
That's us. It is the Morning News Express. Good morning. 813 at WFMD. Bob here, Ryan there. And together we are the Morning News Express.
The right? Dynamic duo of morning radio.
Did you hear where the nearly $14 billion in emergency aid to Ukraine? Because we have it. You know, just toss the money around.
Oh, yeah.
Headed to the Senate after clearing the House. Now, the package is part of a broader spending bill that funds the government through September. So, in other words, this is one of those they just sneak it past you, and then they're going to only talk about Ukraine. The spending got hung up in, over a roughly $15 billion for additional COVID relief, which was eventually pulled from the legislation. She said, Nancy Pelosi said, referred to the maneuvering as legislative sausage making.
They come up with some creative names, don't they? Yeah.
She said, I didn't want to, I didn't get what I wanted in the bill. You're telling Noah about the flood. She said, we have a deadline. We're keeping the government open. On a related note, the government till is just about empty as midnight tonight. With that deadline, the House also passed a short-term funding extension through Tuesday to ensure the Senate has enough time to pass a larger bill, which is more than 2,700 pages.
Yeah, by the way, it's just one party blaming another in D.C. this morning for gas prices and COVID funding and Ukraine and no-fly zones and all that. Jim Jordan was on the Sean Hannity show last night. Here's what he said about the pain at the pump.
You got the, quote, elite and the crazy left who think that there's no problem having $4 and $5 gas. And then you got middle America. You got the working and middle-class American families who understand what this means.
So when it comes down to that, I mean, I have a hard time. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the mounting support for Ukraine. And I know people are like, well, wait a minute. We have to support Ukraine. We do. We definitely do.
Let me interrupt here. Why?
Okay, so let's do this. Let's come back and revisit this conversation because I don't have enough time to lay out my position. It is 8:15. Let's check sports and be right back with this important conversation. It's WFMD, Morning News Express.
9:30, WFMD, Sports Update.
All right, so we have two very important state title games tonight. Girls basketball, it is the Catoctin Cougars taking on Pikesville. That game tips at 6 o'clock at the Xfinity Center on the campus of the University of Maryland, 8 p.m. Oakdale takes on Huntingtown, and Oakdale has played some of the best basketball that program has ever seen, led by Alex Hawkins. He's a literal scoring machine. And again, the Catoctin game will be right here on WFMD after 6 o'clock with Steve Nibbs on the call. The Washington Capitals fell short in Edmonton last night. Edmonton Oilers scoring a very important victory for playoff positioning. 4-3, the final score. Alexander Ovechkin kept off the board. The Clippers beat the Wizards last night, 115-109. Wizards held scoreless for the last 237. And the Maryland Terrapins taking on the Michigan State Spartans in the Big Ten tourney at 6:30. That's sports at 6:17.
It is the Morning News Express on WFMD. Almost to the end of the show.
Yeah. Forget. Good show.
Glenn Beck coming up at 9. So where were we? We were talking about Ukraine.
So I made the statement before we went to break that we should not dive any deeper into Ukraine than we already are. I don't think Americans have an appetite for it. And my position is based clearly on the fact that we don't have the leadership to go any further. We just don't. Biden's being pushed around. We're at the point where markets are in correction territory. We are in runaway inflation territory. Gas prices are soaring. People are losing their jobs. We're probably about to go into a recession. Everything that we purchase at the store is soaring. And what are we going to do? I mean, what more can we do in Ukraine? If we do anything more, we'll go to World War III. which will really make the economy crash. So we really have to be very careful about what we're doing in Ukraine. I'm not an international expert by any means, but I was looking back at the Obama administration and the way they handled Russia's invasion of Ukraine in the Crimean region. And at that time, there was a poll that came out that polled quite a bit of people, and Americans didn't have the appetite for it then. 56% didn't want to get that involved in the situation in Ukraine. What has changed? The only thing that has changed is the administration, and one that I would argue is very much the same. Biden and Obama, their policies, their failings. So I think, you know, if we do any more, Bob, we're going to go to World War III. We don't want that. We do not want that.
Absolutely don't want that. And I don't know if the world is prepared for that. And, you know, and how will history... When you look at Putin, you know, I don't know. I mean, does this guy want to go down in history as the guy who caused World War III? You know, another Adolf Hitler? I don't think so. I think he's got too big of an ego for that.
So I
just think he's a bully.
Yeah.
The problem is we have a guy who thinks he's a bully as president, but is a feeble old man. And I'm nothing against his age because, you know, obviously there's men who are very, you know, prominent and very powerful and very, you know, that are his age. But I just think he talks tough. You could hear him during his speech when he tried to get a little tough, but, you know, he's just not that guy. He's not the guy to lead us into situations like this. And this is where people said, well, Donald Trump is going to get us into World War III. Well, he didn't, did he?
Mm-mm.
He probably kept us from that. Putin didn't go and invade Ukraine when Donald Trump was president.
Well, I think Vladimir Putin's inferiority complex comes from... when the Berlin Wall fell, he was a KGB agent. And at the time when the wall fell, I guess he tried to call the Moscow for help and they didn't answer the phone. And at that point, he just felt like Russia was extremely vulnerable and he never wanted that feeling ever again. And he's carried that feeling all these years, generations down the line. And this guy doesn't want to lose. But I think that if we discuss no-fly zones, if we send over any more money, if we certainly put our troops, I mean, our troops are already in, aren't they in Eastern Europe? I mean, we've deployed some people close to Poland. Now we're playing with NATO countries and triggering Article 5. This is very dangerous. We are tiptoeing the line to a war. We cannot afford a war. And again, I just cite the cost of everything rising. People are, their heads are just above water, Bob. People don't have the appetite to continue to help Ukraine. Maybe we need to turn off the television sets. I don't know what the solution is here, but the images that we're seeing out of Ukraine are awful.
Well,
they're awful.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think if anything we do, we need to send humanitarian aid if we can. But that's, you know, when you get humanitarian aid, it just gets taken by leaders and they use it how they deem necessary. And that's not necessarily what we need to do. And we're always the ones who step up and we don't have any money. Look, this country's broke too.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you were mentioning, you were talking about people's heads just above water. We hear that during elections all the time is that we want to help the hard working class and we want to help the people, you know, the have nots. Well, you know, right now the have nots have not enough money to buy gas. And what is Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, the left, the right? It doesn't matter. They're not doing anything. Okay, well, we want to suspend gas taxes. Well, okay, but you're never going to get that done. And then you put out a bill that says we're going to help with Ukraine, but then you put in all kinds of earmarks, which we haven't seen in a long time, for food stamp buildings, for National Institute of Health funding, $66 million for racial and ethnic approaches to community health, blah, 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 blah. We're doing it all the time, and this is ridiculous. We can't do this any longer, and we got to stop our senators and our representatives from putting an earmark.
That's exactly right, and we're not talking about a NATO ally here in Ukraine. We're not. We're not. We've already sent 5,000 troops to Poland. We're not talking about turning our backs on a NATO ally. Would Ukraine do the same for us? I don't know if they would, but you know, there's part of me, and this is not a popular sentiment to make, but I don't know if I trust Vladimir Zelensky. I don't know, because every time he comes on, it seems like he is encouraging the United States to do something that we are very much against, and that is getting into it with Russia. He wants a no-fly zone. He wants into NATO. He's in the middle of a war, knowing that if Ukraine enters NATO, it will automatically trigger Article 5. Listen to this guy's press conferences. I think he's just trying to bait the United States into a conflict with Russia and then pass it off to us so he could escape out of the country. That's my take.
829 at WFMD. WFMD on the Morning News Express. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick.
And joining us on the phone line right now, Dylan Diggs. Dylan is running for Frederick County Council, right, Dylan?
That's right. How y'all doing?
We're doing really well. Tell us all about your campaign kickoff. When does that start?
Yeah, so my campaign kickoff is happening this Sunday, March 13th. At 5 o'clock over at Warehouse Cinema. It's a new movie theater. You know, they have craft beer, they have some craft food, some gourmet food, and they also have movies. And so, but they'll also have me, on the 5th, at 5 o'clock on Sunday. So I encourage folks to come on by. We're going to be talking about some of the important issues facing Frederick citizens. I'm running for county at large. You know, the inflation report just came out. We're at a 4-year high on inflation. Working, middle class, Frederick citizens, we're in a vice, man. We're like, the roads are clogged. Crime is increasing. We're seeing stuff that the sheriff is dealing with on a daily basis. And we need to get, and frankly, spending is out of control. You guys have been talking, all the stuff that you've been talking about. So I want to encourage folks to come on by. Another opportunity to kind of get engaged, because all the stuff that you're talking about are things that, reasons why we need to get active, we need to get engaged, and we need to vote in these upcoming elections, because I think the county is just at a pivot. I'm the president of the Republican Club of Frederick County as well, and we have an event this evening on with a few school board candidates who will be talking about issues. We're over at the Red Horse there, and so I encourage folks to come on by as well. That's this evening at 6.
All right.
Hey,
good stuff, Dylan. Go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dylan. I was going to say, what issues are you running on? What's the biggest problem in Frederick County right now? If you could wave a magic wand and it would go away, what would that issue be?
Lord, I think the biggest issue, I think a lot of the things that I'm talking about stem from, one, a need to make sure that we have balanced growth in the county. So what I mean by that is that we have the roads and infrastructure to grow within our means, as well as the businesses, and the law enforcement support, so that when there is growth, there is one, people, places to shop and places to work and stuff like that. But also, Lord, that we are secure and our communities are secure, because if they're not, this all goes to putz. And finally, you know, I'm an evaluator. I look at government programs, and kind of like my whole career has been looking at these things and seeing what's effective, what's goal driven, what's working, and frankly, a lot of times what's not, and how we can change. And I want to bring that to the county council. I want to bring that kind of common sense, data-based ability to the council, so that we can really get things working here in the county.
All right, Dylan. Thank you so much. I'm up against the clock, but thank you so much. And again, 5 o'clock at the Warehouse Cinemas on 40, and what will you exactly be doing there? You just be announcing your kickoff?
Yeah, it's a Sunday, and I'll just be talking about the issues that you know, that are important to this county. I'll be announcing my kickoff, and Lord knows we all need money to kind of get out our message, so we'll be taking donations as well.
All right, thanks, Jill.
Hey, MD. The Morning News Express. 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD.
Love this song.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's National Ranch Dressing Day.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I love ranch dressing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm 270 pounds because of ranch dressing.
No, you're not. A new survey out there found that 41% of employees who rage quit or emotionally impulsively leave their jobs tried to get them back.
Oops.
78% of people tried to go back where were able, but it's important to understand that what got people to that breaking point in the first place. Most people say it was poor management. Toxic boss, 44%. 40% said it was excessive work stress. Others include a culture of overworking, being underpaid, feeling underappreciated, poor work-life balance, and lack of regard for employee mental health. Yeah. I've done that. I've quit
and tried to come back.
I've never tried to come back, but I remember telling a particular boss one time, because they really did kind of just, you know, what's the best way, screw me over, basically. And it was because of who I was dating at the time. And everybody knew it. I mean, she said, well, we're going to different shifts. And I thought I was going to get a 6-10 shift, which would have been a lot nicer. But no, I got the 10-2 shift, which really made me mad. I was the number one night guy there. And I just went in, I typed up a letter real quick, and I just said, you know what? I said, you're screwing me over. I've done everything you've ever asked. I've given you the ratings. I've given you the money. You name it. You don't pay me enough, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I said, you know, one day, some, you know, I told her she's blanking me over. And I said, one day, when I handed her that I was quitting, I said, one day, you're going to get blanked over. And when you do, I want you to remember me.
Oh, wow.
6 months later, the entire staff quit.
Oh. So there was a guy, a late G. Gordon Liddy was his name. He was a former host. And he was working at Radio America. I was board hopping part-time for him, working for his producer, whose name was Franklin. And G. Gordon Liddy was on a trip one time, and Franklin wanted me to write some liners for the next week's worth of shows. And, of course, G. Gordon Liddy was an FBI agent. So I was writing these liners, and I thought I was real creative, and I was talking about how G. Gordon Liddy was tied up at the moment, literally and figuratively, and couldn't get to the radio, but would be back with you next week. So I printed out my liners, handed them to Franklin, super happy, super proud of my work. And Franklin looked at me, and he crumbled the paper up, and he threw it at me. And he said, "What is this?" And I said, "They're what you asked for." And he said, "G. Gordon Liddy never gets tied up." And I said, I didn't mean that kind of tied up. I meant tied up as if he can't get to the radio right now. And, well,
double entendre, buddy.
Yeah.
Double entendre.
So they handed me a paycheck and said it was my final check at Radio America, and I was shown the door.
There you go.
Just for saying G. Gordon Liddy was tied up.
Well, yeah. So secretly, G. Gordon Liddy was tied up at, tied up with some Watergate stuff or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. No,
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Also, according to a TripAdvisor, Spring Travel Index, 53% of Americans are expected to travel between March 1st and May 31st.
Yep.
51% plan to spend more this spring than they did last year. Well, yeah, we're going to be forced to, with 23% spending spend significantly more. I think we're all going to spend significantly more, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. And unless you don't go anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that most people are going to just kind of, eat it, go in debt, they'll put it on their credit card or whatever, or they just won't go anywhere.
Yeah, I refuse to do that. I'm not maxing my credit card. Tiff is not maxing her credit card. We're going to have a very conservative wedding. It's going to take place actually on July 1st and not July 2nd because I'm taking work into account. And then when we can, when we have more vacation time and more money, then we're going to get away for the honeymoon. But very conservative. My father will probably be there. Her mother will probably be there. And it's not going to be, you know, this economy, this inflationary economy has really put a damper in our plans, but not our spirit. We're still planning to get married in July.
Well, there you go.
Amidst a lot of BS.
Well, so. I just saw, let me see if I, the numbers are out for inflation. Inflation rised 7.9% in February,
yeah.
A new 40-year high.
Mm-hmm.
National average price for gasoline, which we've been announcing, $4.31. So inflation is a fresh 40-year high. Thank you, Joe Biden.
Yeah, thank you, Joe
thank
Biden.
Thank you, Joe Biden. Did you vote for Joe Biden? Then you're at fault for this.
Yes. Let me get the midterm countdown clock. Let's see. The midterm countdown clock. 242 days, 5,823 hours, and 349,380 minutes till midterms.